Chapter 4. At 9:49 p.m., I stood from the wobbly wooden desk and stretched, raising my hands until they grazed the low ceiling of the hotel room. I felt around in the coat I had taken off and found a pack of Babas, tapped it on the edge of the desk, peeled off the foil, and took out a single cigarette. At exactly 9:50, my cell phone rang. It always rang at 9:50 exactly. Hello?
Good evening, Victor, said the voice on the other end, low and even. How is your progress?
That's what Mr. Bridge always said. Every time, when a case was on, when a file was active, he always called at 9:50, and his voice always sounded the same.
She's doing great, thanks, I said. How's your mother?
Mr. Bridge didn't laugh. He never laughed. He repeated himself.
How is your progress?
So far, so good.
I slipped out onto the little balcony. The room was on the second floor, and I could smell the bitter fumes of the parking lot. To be honest with you, it would be a lot better if I had the full file.
You will.
So you've said. I lit the Baba and took a drag.
Janice will post the full file by tomorrow noon at the absolute latest. It will be available for download from the second server.
Yes, Master, sure enough.
Cold silence. No chance of getting a laugh out of Mr. Bridge on that one. I trusted his assurances about the file. My handler at the U.S. Marshals Service was a serious man, and he rarely made promises on which he did not deliver. And even with the full file being unaccountably late, I already knew the most important details. A person bound to labor had escaped. His service name was Jackdaw. His PIN was 78312-99. The company to whom he owed service was a textile plantation called Garments of the Greater South, of Pinewoods, Alabama, a Tuscaloosa suburb. A man had run. It was my job to find him.
Victor, how is your progress?
I took a quick drag off the Baba.
Well, the good father and I broke bread.
My name is Dirksen. My wife is gentle, and she is bound to subterranean service in Carolina. More silence on the other.